Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
My next guest, Ippolito Acosta, spent three decades on the front lines of the immigration issue with the Border Patrol, INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service, Department of Justice, and Homeland Security. He was district director of the INS in Mexico, in charge of all operations in Latin America and the Caribbean for the U.S. His new book is called Shadow Catcher. It details his efforts to fight immigration and drug smuggling, both at the policy level and as an undercover agent on the front lines. Agent Acosta, thank you very much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Your book is full of vivid stories about the way in which immigrants are brought into this country. Can you tell us one, pick one from your book that you think is really, you know, a good indicator for our listeners of what this is like?
Well, I think that in my first chapter, the Shadow Catcher, where I actually infiltrate a group in Mexico, and I get smuggled with a large group coming into the United States on their way to Chicago, Brian. We're in a flea-infested hotel in Juarez, Mexico, which, as you well know, is one of the most dangerous cities right now, and it was back then as well. We cross the river where I almost drowned as we entered the United States. I found it ironic that I was sneaking into my own country with this group, and ultimately ended up with a long journey, part of it in the back of a U-Haul in freezing weather all the way to Chicago, where one of the gentlemen that was with us was hospitalized for frostbite. One of the young girls had been raped along the way, not while I was there, but those were some of the ordeals that the people suffered that were coming into the country, and that's all in my first chapter.
And what were you looking for when you would embed yourself with immigrant smugglers? Were you just looking to bust these poor Mexicans coming across the border looking for work?
Well, you know, quite on the contrary, of course. You know, I was dedicated to enforcing all our immigration laws, but what I wanted to focus on was the organized human smuggling organizations and not just the low-level drivers. I was going after the individuals that were heading these organizations, some that were based in foreign countries. And one of the practices that we had back then was just going after the low-level drivers, and that really accomplished nothing. And I felt that it was important to go after the people that were really behind this organized crime. And the only way I could do it, Brian, was by actually infiltrating the groups, whether as an illegal immigrant, portraying myself to be an illegal immigrant, or actually in later cases, I joined them as a smuggler myself, where I participated in transporting people from the border. And in fact, I infiltrated some of the large groups in Central and South America as well.
Was there a connection between the illegal immigration trade and the drug cartels?
There has always been overlapping activities in that particular area. You know, criminals have no borders, Brian, and criminals certainly don't worry about jurisdictional areas. There was always overlaps. There was occasions where illegal immigrants were either forced to carry narcotics, and in some cases we have seen some of the activity recently where just last year there were 72 migrants that were coming to the United States that were executed by members of the cartels in Mexico. So it's a very dangerous activity, but there was a lot of overlap, and there certainly is nowadays as well.
Perhaps the most notable example of anti-cartel efforts recently is a failure, the so-called Fast and Furious program, by which U.S. officials allowed the sales of guns to Mexican cartels in the hopes of then tracking them up the chain of command. You weren't there for that. You left in 2005, but you describe all sorts of covert operations that you took part in firsthand. Is something that was going on while you were serving in the Department of Homeland Security instructive of how we should understand Fast and Furious?
Well, you know, I'm actually in the process of working on a second book with A.J. Irwin, one of my former partners, in which we went up to the highest levels of the Department of Justice to get permission to run those undercover operations, because there's a lot of sensitivities that go along with those operations. But let me just back up to say that, you know, you have to you know, praise the agents that are actually out in the field trying to use the innovative techniques that that are necessary to prosecute the high-level people like the cartel members and try to find out, you know, how they can take the activity down. So there's a lot of channels that must be pursued by agents as they target this type of cartel activity. Now, on Operation Fast and Furious, I think it was a ill strategy that wasn't well thought up. But I almost feel certain that there was a high-level approval and certainly some type of notification to the Mexican government, because that's one of the other things that we used to do when we had sensitive operations like that. We shared some of that operation with some of that information with foreign governments. So I think it just got out of hand, and maybe some of the people that were working it perhaps didn't have the right experience. Certainly, I think there's people that need to stand up and say, you know, we messed up and be responsible for what happened.
Ippolito Acosta, my guest on WNYC, his new book, Shadow Catcher, describes his days as district director of the U.S. Immigration Service in Mexico, in charge of all operations in Latin America and the Caribbean. How much should we worry about violence spilling into the United States from the drug wars? You know, during the Republican primary debates, Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney both warned that this is inevitable. But has it happened, and do you see it as a real threat?
Well, you know, we can never let our guard down, Brian. But let's be realistic. The violence is being kept south of Mexico. Now, there is some violence in the United States, and you know, there's intelligence reports that indicate there's a cartel presence in over 1,000 cities throughout the United States. So there is some violence ongoing, and we should be very careful. And I think our law enforcement officers do a tremendous job in curtailing that violence, and there's a huge difference, by the way, in how our law enforcement people respond versus the way it's being handled in Mexico. You know, Mexico has long had a culture where there's been a lot of corruption in the law enforcement circles, a lot of participation in the narcotics trafficking. So now they're having a very hard time putting their arms around that particular activity, and that's precisely because of that. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have some responsibility on this side. You know, we are the market for their product. We have corruption, but I'm proud to say that when we do have corruption, that our authorities respond appropriately. And so I think that, you know, we need to be careful to make sure that we monitor what's going on. We need to be able to respond and certainly be aware that that it can certainly have an impact on our communities, Brian.
Have you ever asked yourself, in light of your experience and your career, whether it would be an effective harm reduction strategy to just legalize marijuana and maybe even other drugs? Because so many people are dying now as a result of the gang violence with this stuff on the black market?
Well, you know, as a former law enforcement officer, I would certainly not support something like that. But I will tell you that I'm not necessarily sure that that's the right answer. You know, there was violence in the years when I was a young agent, when the cartels were not receiving the attention that they are right now, and I don't really see that as an impact on the United States, and I don't really see the impact on Mexico. I don't think that cartel members are all of a sudden going to decide to become law-abiding citizens because they're going to get a franchise or pay taxes. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think that the violence in Mexico is something that they have to address during the next few years, and it's going to be quite some time before they put their arms around this particular situation.
Let me get your take on the Obama administration record on immigration and illegal immigration. Here he is speaking last summer.
We have strengthened border security beyond what many believed was possible. They wanted more agents at the border. Well, we now have more boots on the ground on the southwest border than at any time in our history.
Is that an accurate statement? More boots on the ground on the southwest border than at any time in our history?
That's correct. We have we probably have about close to 23,000 Border Patrol agents that are authorized to protect our borders. And Brian, I would tell you that's the right thing to do. Now, it wasn't because the present administration started that. The increase started, after 9/11, and there was a huge increase of Border Patrol agents along the border. But one of the things that I like to point out that the administration is saying, well, we've only had 340,000 people that were arrested last year trying to enter the United States. What they don't say is that we have still not addressed the issue of having 12 to 15 million people in the country that might be undocumented. Even as we had a large increase from 2003, 2005, 2008, undocumented aliens kept coming to the United States because they were still being able to be gainfully employed. And I think that's the whole issue right there.
Although I'm sure you saw the same numbers from the Pew Center that we did that showed there was actually a net zero migration between Mexico and the United States from 2005 to 2010. What do you make of that trend?
Well, you know, certainly the border security has an impact on people attempting to come into the country illegally. That reduces the number. Certainly more of a chance of people getting arrested. So that has an impact. But let's also be realistic. The economy has taken a huge downturn. There are still people trying to come into the United States, and we see that every day. Last week, in one particular location in South Texas, there was what we call a drop house with 100 people arrested as they were waiting to be transported to the interior cities of the United States. There's been a net migration, but I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. You know, certainly the border security has an impact. The economy has a huge impact as well, Brian.
And you describe in your book your frustration with the fact that large employers here in this country are still willing to hire cheap, undocumented labor and still allowed to. You write about Rick Perry, governor of Texas, railing against illegal immigration, but then not going after his friends in business who do the hiring.
Well, you know, it's politics as usual, and I you might recall that in the Shadow Catcher, Brian, I actually say both parties actually have a lot of fault because they have different opinions and they talk a lot, but actually get very little done. Over the years, we saw an increase. Just to give you an example, in 2001, there was estimated that there was between 2 and 3 million illegal Mexican aliens in the United States. From 2001, despite the fact that we increased our resources tremendously along the border, we're between 10 and 15 million people. So obviously what was being done was not working because people were still being able to come into the United States, find a job, and stay within the interior cities of the United States. So I think that's one of the things that needs to be addressed. If employers are held accountable, they will refrain from using an undocumented workforce. But also one of the things that failed along the way, Brian, was after 1986, we never provided for temporary workers to come into the United States and leave in the right numbers. Because in my book, I also mentioned that if people from Mexico had been able to come in and work temporarily, if there was a work shortage, many of them would have gone back. But all we did was increase our border security, made it harder for them to go back. And certainly what most of them did was just continue bringing in their families.
Hippolita Acosta spent 3 decades on the front lines of the immigration issue with the Border Patrol, the INS, the Justice Department, and Homeland Security. He was district director of the INS in Mexico, in charge of all operations in Latin America and the Caribbean. His new book about his experiences during that time is called Shadow Catcher. Thank you very much for coming on and talking about all this with us.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to doing it again, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.